Hello, this is singer-songwriter Colette O'Connor from Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm here to tell you that he's talented, good-looking, intelligent, polite, thorough, and now owes me $10. You are listening to the David Bowers Award.
And now, around the world and around the corner, it's the David Bowers Award, bringing the best in indie music to millions of listeners worldwide with your host, the David Bowers. We've got a fantastic lineup of guests, our entire crew here at the Asylum, and me. I'm John Bon Jovial. And now, here's the voice of indie music, the David Bowers.
Well, thank you very much there, the legendary one, John Bon Jovial. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another show, especially after that insanity that reigned last week. And then Colette introduces the show today. But she's not getting away with stealing the show this week. We're going to hang on tight reins this week, going right to the music. I have another young lady on this week, Ashley Amber. Here she is with her latest, Keep You Around.
We met that night in L.A., so high on earth to glow. It's always easy to fall with someone you hardly know. Now you picked me in the city, you think I'm always there. But these days I'm more touch and go, and where the stop is there. My baby, you got me, you caught me, second guess.
Around Ashley Amber, an award-winning singer who's been performing around the world for the last decade or more. And she was also on the 2012 American Idol. She smashed some great leading roles on the stage, including Color Purple, Spamalot, Rent. And she's also created her own headliner show, which is a tribute to Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. She landed the first female residency on the celebrity cruises Celebrity Edge and just received rave reviews for this song in Billboard magazine. So she has quite a track record and is definitely making a name for herself. What'd you think, John Bon Jovial?
Oh, I like it. She's got a nice kind of a new country sound going along with it, mixed in, blended with some contemporary quarters. And I think that she's got something that could cross over, that could be played on a contemporary station in addition to a new country station. I can't see it being played on a traditional country, along with Merle Haggard and that kind of thing. But that's not the market, I think, that she's going after. And
exactly.
With a song like this, I think it can do very well. I can think it could climb up the charts.
Definitely new country. It must be working for her because she is really making a name for herself there. I wanted to share that with our listeners and maybe get some feedback from them. You can always drop us a line at david@thedavidbowers.com. We'd be glad to get your comments and whatever you have to say. We want to hear from you because this is your show. We do it all for you. We could be sitting at home playing music for ourselves, and instead, here we are. John, where are we?
Yeah,
how are things where you are?
Where are we? Well, if you listen to Jimi Hendrix, I think we're the third stone from the sun, if I'm not mistaken.
Excuse
now,
me while I kiss the
sky. Might be
a
generalization, and doing all right, my friend. How about you today?
I'm hanging in there, and we just went through a couple of rainy days in Arizona, which is very uncommon, but I think I have survived that. And we, of course, desperately need the water. So we are glad for that, and I'm hoping things are fairly well going where you are.
Well, here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and if you don't know how to spell Kalamazoo, then go to YouTube and look up Glenn Miller, and I've got a gal in Kalamazoo, and that will teach you how to spell this town, which is kind of a weird name, but we like it here. This is our first spring in Kalamazoo after living in Florida for so many years. And to see the transition from winter into spring is really nice. I haven't seen it. It's probably been 35 years since I've seen it. So it's nice to experience this again. Instead of a 1 or 2 day visit, to do it on a long-term basis, we are thoroughly enjoying it.
I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you. It's always nice if you like where you're at. It makes life a real lot easier. And I have only one question, and that is, why would I want to know how to spell Kalamazoo? That's a rhetorical question. It doesn't require an answer. Moving right along here, we want to thank our friends Diddy Bingo, who provide the house band music for us, our theme song every week. And you can find them and a lot more at their website, tittybingo.com, Texas Rock and Roll, the way a lot of people like it. Also, say hello to our friends in Rochester, New York at Rochester Free Radio, including the Baron Steve Von Litvak and his Rock and Roll Rumble show that rumbles on right after the David Bowers Awards Saturdays on Rochester Free Radio. And he is followed in turn by the legendary Armand, who spins his weave of magical mystery music. Armand Spins on WRFZ, FM 106.3, Rochester Free Radio in Rochester, New York. We'd be remiss if we did not mention our friend Z, who hosts a show on the Disruption Network on YouTube that includes a Monday music show called Local Music Monday, where they spotlight some of the best indie artists in upstate New York. You won't want to miss that. And you also won't want to miss the rest of this show, because we've got another special coming your way. Today, thanks to our friend Tom Ticka, we have Nolan Chu and the Star Prairie Project back with us. Now, they were here almost a year ago. They were here last May 28th, and they have a new album out. I think you're going to really get a kick out of it. It's called The Shining Ones, and here's a track right now, My Kundalini, from their new album, The Shining Ones, Star Prairie Project. I'm not afraid to Kundalini, at Star Prairie Project. And right now, let's bring in the gentleman who put this all together and created this. Let's welcome, if you will, please, Mr. Nolan Chu Jr. Nolan, hello there.
Hello, hello. Thank you very much. It's fantastic being back on with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back. This was a little bit more raucous, a little bit more ethereal than we had the last time you were with us. Now, I know this is a concept album, and I want to touch on that in just a moment. But first, I've got to ask you the question that I know our listeners are sitting out there mumbling under their breath. What is Kundalini?
Kundalini is an Eastern word that stands for the feminine energy that is coiled at the base of the human spine. And the energy, when it's released, spirals up snake-wise through the seven energy chakras in the human body, exiting out through the head chakra in an explosive enlightenment transcending experience.
Well, thank you very much. It was nice of you to be here with us today, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm kidding. I'm glad you went into detail on that, because I know if you didn't, people would be asking, and I'm very, very glad you did that. Thank you very much. Now, who is the young lady who are you laughing at me?
I'm laughing with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Who is the young lady who sings this?
Sandrine Orsini. She's lives in Portugal, and she's a French Portuguese singer. She's been working with me in the project for the last 3 or 4 years. She's just an incredible voice, doesn't she?
Yes, that goes without saying, but I'm glad you said it anyway. That's a wild hint of what's to come. I read one review that said something to the effect that if this is any indication of the rest of the project, of the album, then I think they said something to the effect of strap in, because you're about to be launched into outer space or something of that nature. And they're not far wrong. I haven't gotten to listen to all of the tracks, but I've listened to parts of all of them. And it is quite a project. I wish we had a couple hours and could play the whole thing. But then on the other hand, that would defeat the need for the people to go out and actually get the music themselves, that's the purpose of this whole thing. Tell us, Nolan, tell us, how did you come up with this concept, and where is it going? What does it mean overall?
When I spoke with you last, like you said, about a year ago, I was working on a Americana album that had some pop tendencies to it, and last winter, the winter of 2023, I decided that I was going to lock myself away in my cabin on the lake in northwest Wisconsin, and I was going to write a concept album, and I was going to start from absolute scratch. And I was going to start it with the concept Undefined, and I was going to work it through on pure serendipity. Now, having said that, I had no idea how that was going to work.
I'm going to sit down and do something and see where it goes.
Well, so this topic, the topic came to me of the Shining Ones through a series of spontaneous synchronicities where that term came up 3 or 4 times over a couple of days where I hadn't previously heard it. And so I started following these synchronicities, and I'd heard the term, see it in a YouTube video, a television program, a book, a conversation. And so I started looking into the topic of the Shining Ones, and I got instantly hooked. And I said to Phil G. Gardner, Minds Behind the Music, who Tom Tipke and I were working with at the time, and I mentioned that topic, Shining Ones, to him, and he said, yeah, I'm familiar with it. I wrote a book on it. And I went, no. And so I read his book, and I said, Phil, I'm going to write a concept album. I'm going to write a concept album on this concept, and I'm going to blow you away. And so I sat down, my gang from Portugal, Marcela Vieira, singer, Sandrine Orsini, singer, Ricardo Dick, sound engineer, guitar maestro of every type of guitar possible. Mauro Ramos on drums. And we sat down to write this album, sort of like something like when I was growing up in Journey of the Center of the Earth by Wick Wakeman. You remember those days,
right,
when the concept albums were
really
emerging? And I wanted something in that vein. Now, The Shining Ones is a story, an intriguing story in and of itself that you can go down in many rabbit holes. But essentially, The Shining Ones are a pre-flood, pre-diluvian, shamanic-based cult that existed on Earth at the time before the flood, that survived the flood and helped humanity recover as well. And these people lived amongst us and peacefully, and were called by many, many different names. In the Bible, they were referred to as Elohim, angels, fallen angels, Nephilim. In Mesopotamia, they were called Anunnaki, and feathered serpents in Mesoamerica, many, many different names. And out of Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization, underneath the city of Nippur, was 20,000 clay cuneiform tablets that were found and studied that told stories of ancient Earth and pre-flood days. And it gave us, for instance, the earliest recording story, the Epic of Gilgamesh, 2100 BC. And the Shining Ones were said to be gods, but they were not the god as we know, the monotheistic god. They were gods of nature, gods of the scientists, very well advanced, and they were capable of having high levels of intelligence and different type of esoteric special gifts, precognition, bilocation, things of that nature. Emerged from Egypt and Mesopotamia almost at the same time. And they talked about recovering the earth that had been destroyed in the flood. And the time period that they emerged, you go back 8,200 BC, at the end of the last ice age, where everything was settling down, there was a period called the Younger Dryas, where there was a meteorite incident, followed by ice age, followed by the incident that we know today as the biblical flood. And these shining ones would come out of the sea. They were masters of the sea, and appear at all of these points on the earth to teach mankind how to recover. And at that time, mankind went from caveman Neolithic period to high civilizations very, very quickly, like they were helped.
Very, very interesting, too. Before we go any further, I want to bring in our own shining light here. John Bon Jovial, come on in and join the conversation.
Yeah, sometimes I think that's a dim bulb, but I don't know. That's a story for another day. Nolan, welcome back to the show. It really is nice to have you back with us again. But I want to get back into my Kundalini, and I want to talk about the technical aspect of it a little bit. The way that musically this whole production is put together is so tight and so precise. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the drummer is the driving force and the thread that keeps this whole thing together. And this guy is awesome. And tell me about – what did you say his name was? Marcos?
Mauro Ramos.
Mauro Ramos. Tell me – tell me about Mauro Ramos, because I'm very impressed with what he's doing on this piece of music.
Well, when we started this album, we wanted to do something more ambitious, in the studio, using studio effects, synthesizers, guitar, but we also wanted to use a very dynamic drum as an aspect of carrying and driving certain aspects of We Were Going. And
he's driving it. There's no question about that.
The first time I heard
song it. The song would be good without him, but in my estimation, and again, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he is the one that keeps this whole thing together and really makes it what it is.
Well, a good drummer would do that. A great drummer like him transcends that. And it's, you're right, it's the glue. But it also provides, you know, especially in context of the musical element we're talking about, like in the song Music is Gnosis, it talks about the very primordial beginnings of music in man, you know, drumming and the beat, that universal beat. And, of course, that's what drumming is. And when you can take it in its complexities and you can have that underlying element be part of the instrumentation to the point that it stands out the way it does, it's a very special effect, and it's very hard to do. You can't plan it. It just takes, you know, the right circumstances and the right talent. When I heard his drums on the first song we did, Where Did We All Come From, I just absolutely fell over.
We're going to get to hear that, because we're going to close the show with that. But right now you're giving us a lot of knowledge. I think you're probably selling a few of those books you mentioned earlier too. And I know there are going to be people doing Google searches, but you mentioned Music is Gnosis, which loosely means music is knowledge. And that's the next tune on the track. Here is Music is Gnosis, Star Prairie Project. That's Star Prairie Project, and we have with us Nolan Chu Jr., who put this all together and made this amazing project come to life. Nolan, you've told us a little bit about how this came together. You've really given us, in a nutshell, an education on the topic. How did you proceed as you were going? I know you mentioned that the tune we're closing with is one of the early tracks, if not the first track on the album and everything, but how did you proceed as these thoughts and ideas came to you?
Well, I tried it from my songwriting for this album, a little different tactic than I normally use. I wanted to try to take a mystical approach and enter into my songwriting sessions in solitude and silence and ground it. And I want it to be like coming out of a meditation session where I had an alpha wave state of relaxation. And I literally would pick up my guitar, start noodling around, and would just wait for it to come. And I would often start with a riff or a chord progression. And then almost immediately the words would start coming to follow the pattern, and which
okay,
is really exciting.
Now you just mentioned the fact that, you know, you get a lot of inspiration and picking up your guitar after coming out of a state of relaxation, a state of meditation, call it what you will. And this is going to be kind of a weird question, but are you able to gain inspiration born from distraction?
Well, yes and no, in the sense of distraction being processed in the calm of the storm, inside of the eye of the hurricane, being able to view the distraction as not being part of it. And then you're in that state of mind where you've separated the ego, the Nolan Chu, from that aspect of what's happening to you.
An analogy that I'll use, and maybe this will clear things up a little bit. Both David and I have some pretty significant backgrounds in terrestrial radio, AM, FM, that kind of thing. And both of us have written numerous commercials over the years. We call it copy. And oftentimes if I'm sitting by myself in peace and quiet, I can't think for the life of me to come up with something creative. But a lot of times, if there's all hell is breaking loose in the other room, for example, something will come to me and I'll knock something off and it's knock something out in a minute. Has kind of thing ever happened with you?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. And it depends what the type of music is that I'm writing, what the tone, what the tent, what the mood, and what the message is. With rock music, a lot of times it comes right out of that chaos. Exactly. You know, because that's the expression and that's the release. And music is tension and release, tension and release. And, but in this particular aspect, I was looking to enter into a state where the music would, the energy would come to me, and I would like tune into it with a radio. And actually, in several cases, it worked incredibly well. There's a song on the album, Mary Magdalene, and I was sitting there one night. It was quite late. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I picked up the guitar and I was just messing around with it, and I got this little loop I was doing, and the Mary Magdalene, Mary Magdalene came, and I went, Mary Magdalene, Mary, what? And so, because I didn't even think that Mary Magdalene at that point in time had anything to do with the subject matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I thought it was a distraction, but I just went with it. I went with it. It was a beautiful song, and it had a beautiful message. And then I went back and researched the connections between Mary Magdalene, the Cathars, the Essenes, and which led back to the Shining Ones, this esoteric, you know, all of these secret teachings are the same. Freemasons, you know, Templar Knights, all of the secret societies, the Greek Alexandrian mystery schools, and in the period of around Christ, the Second Temple period, 200 years before Christ and 100 years after Christ, is exactly when these Essenes were in the Holy Land. They're best known for the Qumran Dead Sea Scroll site, and they were ascetics, and they were called themselves the Shining Ones, and they carried on these traditions. And Mary Magdalene is connected to the Essenes with her relationship with Jesus and John the Baptist. And then, according to esoteric lore, she traveled to France, and where she was revered as an ascended being. And these mystery schools taught ascension, and their apocalypticism and ascension was combined. Their goal was to literally become angels and evolve into a transhuman state that transcended Earth, and you'd live in heaven in Zion in the new Earth. The connections back to the Cathars, the Essenes, and Mary Magdalene was absolutely spot on. And so, but I wrote the song, and then I went back and I checked it, and it was like, oh my God. And that's the thing about, you know, a lot of it's intuition. And I intuited this figure, this historic religious figure, into this song, mm-hmm. not knowing if she even belonged. And then after I wrote the song and I went back and I looked at the words and I looked at in the context of her life and the mysteries of, you know, the Da Vinci Code aspect of her life, which is so intriguing. Mm-hmm.
This is a good point, I think, for us to go to our next song, which just coincidentally happens to be I'll Fly Away, which I think is a perfect follow-up to what you were just discussing there. We are really getting an education here. I know I'm going to be looking up some stuff after this is over with. Right now, here it is from the Star Prairie Project, I'll Fly Away.
Thank you.
I'll Fly Away, the Star Prairie Project, Mr. Nolan Chu. And Nolan, I wanted to ask you about the project itself. Tell us about the people that are involved in it and how you guys interact. I mean, do they get with you and help create? Are they, or are they just part of your instrumentation? How does that work?
Well, actually, the idea of the project was when I was growing up, I listened to Alan Parsons a lot, and he was a famous producer. He did Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, had his own Alan Parsons project.
Right.
And they never toured. He made records, and that's what he called it. It was a recording process. And he'd bring in he had two or three steadies and session musicians and vocalists, and they'd do his songs. And, that's essentially what Steely Dan was. They never toured after 1974, after the first – they never toured. They were complete studio band.
Right.
And they brought in Fagan brought in, many session musicians for specific things that he wanted to accomplish within, the profiles of his – whatever his goal was for the project. And that essentially what happened with me was I started out doing a couple of folk country type songs. And I was working with a gentleman, Rudiker, out of LA. And at the same time, I was working on a harder rock song for the first album where I really wanted to get that grinding, busting out rock sound. And so I worked with Marcella Vieira, and at first it started, I'd write out the demo and the lyrics, and I'd give it to them, and they pretty much try to, replicate what I gave them. And on some songs that's easy. The demo sounds, pretty much like how I designed it and how it's engineered. But as we grew, we expanded our group to get Ivy Marie out of Lexington, Kentucky, and the group in Portugal grew to four. They are just absolute masters at songwriting as well. Once we got going, it became more of a combined writing aspect, too, and it got much, much deeper, much more complex.
Speaking of engineering, David will tell you, I deal more with the technical aspects of the program and with the artists, when we have them on, because I'm just always very curious about the engineering of the recording itself. Are you strictly digital? Are you using any analog, or is it kind of a hybrid? How are you putting this all together to achieve the sound, which, by the way, is a nice, full, rich sound? And how are you getting there?
Well, it helps when I have members of the project who can multitask and are multi-talented. So, I got three or four vocalists, two or three songwriters, several guitars, keyboard players, and two sound engineers. And so they know their craft well. And they work together well, but two different, completely different styles. And so usually what I do when I write a song, I'll give it to one of the producers. And I'll say, this is your baby, just so you have one person in charge of too many fingers in the pie.
Sure.
You try to get it too eclectic and there's seven people changing everything. It just gets too much, And
sure.
And that's part of the whole the process too. And from the very beginning, we didn't want to overcomplicate it. We didn't want to crowd it. We didn't want to step on,
As many people are, I'm a fan of Gordon Lightfoot, and
he has this
one particular song called "Affair on 8th Avenue." I have a CD of the song, and I have the vinyl version of the song. And I did an A-B comparison, and I guess, to paraphrase Joe Walsh, I'm an analog man living in a digital world, because the analog recording has so much more warmth to it,
yes,
than the digital recording does. The digital recording is too clean. And that's why I ask you how you're putting this together, because there is a modicum of warmth to this. And so I don't know if you're using analog tape or how you're doing it.
I think it's a combination of both. But it's, you know, it's a digital world, and most everything is,
yes,
is digital. You
yes,
know, the WAV file is, you know, that's the end. That's what you share. That's what goes around. That's what makes the music world go around these days, the WAV file. You know, we started the Star Prairie Project, you know, during the first COVID winter. Everybody stuck inside and stuff, so we did two albums. And we found out right away, hey, everybody else is stuck inside, but this is great. All we need is internet and be able to share files.
There you go. I'm going to have to break in here before we run out of time. And the last thing I want to do is run out of time. I want to give you a chance to spread the word to the listeners of how they can find you, follow you online, and, of course, most importantly, how they can get this terrific music.
Oh, well, that's easy. We're distributed worldwide by One Media. If it's a streaming platform, we're on it. We're on Spotify, Amazon, Deezer, iHeart, you name it, we're on it. So whatever your favorite streaming platform is, just search Star Prairie Project and boom, we'll come up.
How do they find you?
Yeah,
you have a website?
Yep, we have starprairieproject.com website, Instagram, Facebook, Star Prairie Project 2019, Threads, X, whatever it's called now.
Fantastic. Yes, it's X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Nolan, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us today and really educating us as much as you have, because I know a lot of people are going to be looking into this subject beyond just listening to your music, which is tremendous. I've really enjoyed this. I know John has. I hope that you'll come back and see us again in the future.
I'll do that. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's an amazing topic, and as you can see, it's hard to articulate without
I think this last track we're going to play kind of sums it all up. It's called Where Did We All Come From? And I think this is perhaps an underlying thread in the whole message of what you have presented here in your latest album. Ladies and gentlemen, the album is The Shining Ones by the Star Prairie Project. Nolan, thank you again. Here is Where Did We All Come From?
Where Did We All Come From? That's the Star Prairie Project. If you like the album, if you like the music you heard, be sure and add it to your streaming playlists, as well as, of course, getting copies for your home if you like. And we encourage you to stay in touch with the artists, and that's very important to these artists. John Bon Jovial, what did you think about the whole thing?
This was just an absolutely wonderful show. I love the concept of the album, and I would like to do more of these album-oriented shows where we have one guest, and I know that we can't always do that, but when we get a gem like this, you have to throw the rules aside and do a feature presentation. And again, not having ever heard the music before, we put it on our air today, didn't really know what to expect, and I was blown away by everything. Very, very happy with it.
Well, good, and hopefully the listeners out there are feeling the same way, or at least a lot of them, and we thank them for coming and sharing our music that we share with them and the artists that we bring in here. And yes, we've gotten some good reviews on the album release shows, and we will continue to do those. Thank you very much, Nolan Chu. Thank you, listeners. And thank you, John Bon Jovial. One more thing. Would you take us home, please?
Certainly. Folks, you've done it again. And we are, as always, ever so grateful for the hour that you spend with us each and every week. And we really do appreciate it. The David Bowers Awards is broadcast around the world from our studios in beautiful Kalamazoo, Michigan, and, of course, the Valley of the Sun in Tempe, Arizona. And we're available for free on most of the streaming services. Be sure to join us next week for the David Bowers Awards Saturday on WRFC FM 106.3 on your FM radio dial in Rochester, New York, a.k.a. Rochester Free Radio. And if you're out of their listening area, you can always pick them up on the internet at rochesterfreeradio.com. And that happens every Saturday at noon. You can also catch us on Sunday on Blog Talk Radio. That's right, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, and 6 p.m. UTC. So until next week, I am yours truly, the lovably legendary John Bon Jovial, saying be good to each other, treat each other the way you want to be treated, and we will see you next week right here on the David Bowers Awards.